Hey, what's going on, everybody? Andrew here, back for another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Looks like we have a three-game early MLB slate, followed by an eight-game MLB slate later this evening, and then we have golf teeing off tomorrow, as well as Thursday night football back. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But with that said, we have plenty of questions to get through today. So let's get SaberSim pulled up and let's start hitting some of these. First question, is there any merit to filling single entry contests via single fill plus min uniques in order to diversify my single entries? Multi-fill has been great for MME slash 20 max, but I feel like my single entries slash 30 maxes are oftentimes too concentrated on the same teams. I think that, you know, there is definitely merit for doing this. That way you can treat them kind of as a portfolio. Basically, what you would have to do is decide which single entry you want to use as like your, you know, preferred contest, right? Which I think is like pretty easy. You know, if you're playing the $1 single entry, the $3, the $5, the $12, and then you probably just, in my opinion, just use like the $12 as your, you know, preferred contest. I think it does make sense, right? So this isn't something I've experimented with yet, but I think that, you know, you could see similar lineups and similar construction showing up across multiple single entries. So in order to diversify, in order to spread out your exposures across your entire set of single entries, doing them all together is definitely an option. So I think that if you want to try that out, give it a shot. All right, next question. What is the best way to get the optimal cash lineup when I go through either sim or optimizer and sort by projection? I don't think it's spitting out what would be considered optimal for cash. So optimizer mode will do this. So basically what you do is you click on the setting icon, you switch to optimizer mode. When you switch to optimizer mode, what we are going to do is we are going to solve the mathematical optimal. So based on our projections, we are going to build the highest possible projected lineup first, second highest projected, third highest, fourth highest, et cetera here. So you can see I kicked off this build. It's just going to build 20 lineups here. I'm going to switch my sorting metric to projected score. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to come in here and I'm going to look and then I'm going to see, okay, top lineup 109.1. Second lineup, 108.9, so slightly lower, 108.7, 108.7, 108.7, 0.7, 108.6 now, 108.6. So this is like the knapsack highest possible scoring lineup that you can build with the SaberSim projections. Like, hey, you know, given this much salary cap, you know, how many projected points can we possibly fit into a lineup? And that would be the lineup that we are currently looking at. So this is how you get to a cash optimal. All right, next question. If I do custom projections, is it still okay to run against SaberSim ownership and field lineups? I would say yes. You know, custom projections are going to be taken into account in the contest sim. So basically, you know, if you come in here and you set Blake Snell to 24.26 instead of 21.26, which we have him at, the way we adjust for this is every time we run the sims, we add 3 points to his total. So what we're doing is we are maintaining the same fantasy point distribution, but we are effectively shifting it to the right to account for your adjustment. So every time he scores 10, he scores 13. Every time he scores 30, he scores 33. And then that is also the same for his actual points scored in the contest sim. And then that will have an effect on how are accounted for in the contest sim. If you have custom ownership, that's going to be a separate thing. But if you have custom ownership, I would recommend building a custom set of field lineups and then changing the field lineup dropdown to that contest in question, or to your custom set of field lineups. But for custom projections, you could feel comfortable uploading them and then running them against our baseline field lineups. All right, next question. I had an interesting anomaly. Usually when you adjust the min uniques, the projected score drops. Mine actually went up from one unique to two. Thoughts? I had been tinkering with projections and min slash max percentages to get my desired leverages. So I see this most often in small slates. So if we were building, you know, for the three game early slate, you know, more often than not, the builder is going to favor teams that are a little bit lower owned, therefore a little bit lower, you know, run total or overall projection in the small slates, like your two games, like your three games. So if the builder is on those lower projected teams and then you start increasing the min uniques and the builder is required to diversify the lineups, well, the only other players it's not using are some of those higher projected players, those higher run total teams. So then now some of those teams, some of those players start to get into the lineups and the average projection of the lineups goes up. But interestingly, you know, sometimes the ROI of the lineups comes down, right? Because it's a little bit harder to, you know, hit a good lineup when some of these players are 20, 30, 40% owned, as opposed to like when they're, you know, less than 10% owned. You know, when that team does well, it's a lot easier to get to the top of a contest. So it's not uncommon, and you will see this is basically the answer to your question. All right, next question. Hi, when I rebuild lineups and save them, they are not swapping out under the contest tab. All the old lineups stay in the lineup section. I had this problem Sunday, which caused me to play less optimal lineups. Okay, so this sounds more along the lines of a bug or something's wrong. So anytime something like this comes up, what I would recommend doing is coming into the app, go to the top right corner, go to report a problem, click this, write us a brief description of what you are encountering. When you do this, it sends us a lot of information about the session and allows us to troubleshoot it better and get a better sense of what's going on. So my ability to troubleshoot here on stream is limited. So best thing that you can do, send in that report. That'll go to our team, and then we can look into it as necessary and get back to you. All right, next question here. I have a high-level strategy question. Is anyone in the Saber group or community experimenting with playing almost every NFL slate in order to capture ROI in a smoother way? What I mean is, if you're going to invest $1,000 into the main slate and get negative 20% ROI, why not invest $100 into each of 10 showdown contests, assuming you can get 20% in the showdowns? It is more work, but technically, you should have way better risk-adjusted returns this way, right? Or is NFL so profitable that you might as well just get action on every slate? Separately, I had a sim ROI of negative 80% in the $1.20 max on the Sunday main slate with 18 out of 20 lineups, unique and high projections. Is something off with them? Okay, so two questions here. I want to answer the second one first. We've been having some trouble processing the post-contest sims for contests like over 100K entries. So more often than not, the $1.20 max, the $3.20 max, the Millie Makers, the flagships, you know, all of those big contests. So what you're actually seeing is like your actual contest ROI, your live sim ROI. You're not seeing the post-contest sim ROI. So our team is still working on getting those all loaded up, fixing that process. So we're hoping to have that resolved by Thursday/Friday of this week here, but that's why you're seeing negative 80% ROI. As far as the first question goes here, I'm actually doing this myself. I think I ended up playing a total of 32 slates this weekend. So like all of the showdowns, all of the Monday through Thursday, Sunday night football, Monday night, afternoons, early onlys, Thursday to Mondays, you could end up playing a lot of slates, and it is a lot of work, you know, like you said. But personally, I think that that is the best way to smooth out your variance in NFL, just because, you know, with one main slate a week, right? If you think about it, there are 18 regular season weeks in NFL. You know, that is 18 main slates, right? If you look at a sport like baseball, there are 30 main slates a month and the season is 6 months long. So there are 180 main slates for baseball. So that is, you know, 10 times the amount of slates in one NFL season compared, or in one MLB season compared to one NFL season. So NFL just ends up being a lot higher variance in general. The way that I'm doing this is starting with all the showdowns, and then I start with two game slates. So then I'm doing, you know, prioritizing Monday through Thursday, Sunday night football, Monday night football, and then prioritizing afternoon onlys because there's only four games. So then doing the afternoon onlys and then the early onlys and then the main slates and then the Thursday to Mondays, right? So kind of starting backwards from like smaller slates to bigger slates and building it out that way. So the more action I can get down on less correlated slates, the better. And I'm starting small to big. So I actually think that is probably the most optimal way to play NFL DFS, given, you know, how many slates are available and things like that. So I think that you're on the right track. And considering I'm doing something exactly the same, I would agree with your opinion there. All right, next question. How to use the leverage column versus ownership of the field and adjust exposures? Good question. So let's run a sim build here. So let's open up a new tab. Build 500 lineups. Kick this off. And let's let these lineups run for a minute. Lineups are finishing up shortly here. All right. Lineups are complete here. So what we want to do is we want to make sure we can see the columns that we need to analyze, right? So we're talking about exposure, leverage, ownership, right? So let me get some of these other columns out of the way for the moment. Open this up. All right, that gets us just about everything we need. So our general recommendations, and you know, these are basic heuristics. You don't have to, you know, live and die by these. But when people ask like, hey, you know, what's like some good risk to assume on a slate? We generally say, you know, try and keep your exposure around 2 to 3x a player's ownership, right? So for instance, somebody like Nolan Arenado, about 7% owned, you know, it's okay to have like 35% if you want, but we would recommend like being just like a little bit lower where you're not taking like such like a huge stand on him, right? So then typically the way I would do this is start to crank up the mini uniques, let the mini uniques handle a lot of this for me, and then come in and make some fine tune adjustments after the fact. So basically what I'm doing is I'm starting at mini unique of 1. I'm looking at my average projection about 99.9. And then I'm increasing the mini uniques, and I'm kind of waiting till I have like a big drop here. So I've gone from 1 to 4 mini uniques, only lost about half a point of projection in my 20 lineups, and mini uniques of 5, about the same. Mini uniques of 6, right? I take a big jump. I go from like 99.4 to 97.9. So I lost like 1.5 points projection. So I'm going to go back to five, right? I think five is like a good stopping point. And then I would come back in here and I would reanalyze these, right? And it looks like Dubon was probably just got added to the starting lineup. So ownership hasn't rerun. So I'm going to kind of ignore him here. And then from there, right, it's analyzing some of these other players here. Now, the way I feel about this is I don't want to go any further with mini uniques, but, you know, we are like a little bit leveraged on some of these like Angels batters specifically here. I don't hate being at like 25-30%. The reason for that is, you know, we said like 2 to 3x our ownership. When someone's ownership is like really, really low, I think it's okay to switch to doing 2 to 3x their pool exposure. So, you know, Ward is like closer to like 9-10% in the pool, which we're considering like his like optimal rate. So, you know, being like 2 to 3x that is okay when he's like really, really low owned. Cause imagine you have a player that's like, you know, 1-2% owned. That means like you're only ever going to play, you know, 3-6% of them. Like that's a little low, but if that 1% owned player is coming in optimal 4% of the time, then like, hey, maybe it is okay to have, you know, closer to like 12% exposure to that player, right? Just because with 20 lineups, you know, exposures move in multiples of five, right? So you got to be aware of how those exposures change based on how many lineups you're playing, right? I mean, if we're building three lineups and exposure in one lineup is 33%, you know, you got to be aware of that. So that's why I say it's like general guidelines, but be a little bit flexible with it. So that's what I would mostly be looking at, like ownership, exposure. You could come in and sort by leverage to see the players that you have the highest leverage on, which positive leverage means that you're basically rooting for that player. And then you have negative leverage, which is players that you are fading, players that you are taking a stand against, right? So we're taking a huge stand against Minnesota here at the moment. Like, hey, it's important to look at that negative leverage and make sure like, should be like a conscious decision that you're ultimately making there. So those are my thoughts on like exposure, pool, leverage, ownership. Be a little bit flexible with it, but those are some like general guidelines. Next question, for showdown, how would I create a rule? I want to limit only one defense or kicker from the game unless paired with a quarterback / opponent's quarterback. Okay, so let's go to tomorrow, NFL, Buffalo, Miami. So what I would do is I would write a rule that says if at least two, and I'm going to go a manual group rule. So I'm going to say if at least two, and I'm going to edit the group and I'm going to say defense and kickers. I'm going to select them in the captain, and then I'm also going to select them in the flex. Click save. Then I'm going to say must use, and then I'm going to select the quarterbacks. So Allen and Tua, flex, Allen and Tua, captain. I must also use a quarterback from either team, which sounds like it satisfies the rule that you said. So I would write the rule like this, select those players, and you should be all set. All right. Good stuff there. That was our first round of questions in the Discord. Going to jump over to the live YouTube chat. First question, how to create a single entry lineup on the new site for a contest with only 100 entries versus 1,000? So as far as the lineup let me just see here. Thursday to Monday. Are we all projected? Yeah, we are. Okay, good. So as far as lineup creation goes, the sliders are set based on the slate size. And then basically the differentiation between contests occurs via saber score. So what I would do here is I would leave the sliders on default. I would click build lineups. So I'm going to let my pool of lineups be generated here, right? So let's let these lineups build. And we're just waiting for these lineups right now. Okay, so then for my, say, you know, first single entry, right? Say I have two single entries, one big, one small. I would make sure that the first one has Saber score 100 to 1K entries. I would, you know, go and get my one lineup, fill my contest, and then I would switch to the next one, which we're saying is over 1,000. And then I would go and switch to large slate 1K to 10K. This gets resorted. And then now I would enter my lineup for the larger single entry. So the differentiation is going to take place via the Saber score as opposed to the sliders now. Like, we were kind of double counting. We were accounting for it in the sliders and we were accounting for it in the post build. Now we're just accounting for it in the post build. So this is consistent with like a different change that we made like last year, where we used to have like an ownership fade slider, but then we were counting for it as like a slider and then we were accounting for it in the post build. And we only wanted to account for it once and stop double counting. Kind of the same guidelines here. All right, next question. If you have a negative leverage player and it's a player you want more exposure to, how do you make that adjustment? Good question. So fairly simple. You just say, I want to sort by negative leverage, right? Well, let's say, you know, I don't really want to be under the field on Saquon Barkley, right? What I would do is I would just come in here to this minimum exposure and I would set a percentage, right? So maybe I want to be even with the field on Saquon, right? So in that case, say I'm building, you know, 20 lineups, right? So maybe not Saquon, right? Maybe Jahmyr Gibbs, right? I want to match the field. So what I would do is I would come in and set this minimum exposure to 15%, which is just about his ownership. The builder goes and finds lineups with that player, puts them into your set, right? That's why we build a pool of lineups to start with. That's why we build 500, even though we may only need 20. That way we can make those changes and accommodate them in real time. So then I go in here, I see Jahmyr Gibbs, minimum exposure, 15%. Now he's in 3 out of my 20 lineups. So that is how you account for that. All right, next question. If filtering negative ROI lineups means eliminating more than half of your pool, would you then allow negative ROI lineups into your pool? Good question. I would say no. You know, for a lot of the filters that we talk about filtering like 10 to 20% of your pool. When it comes to ROI, you know, the slates, the sample size is so big with 100,000 contest sims. I think you can trust those numbers and I think it's okay to get rid of all of them. So I would always say get rid of all of your negative ROI lineups and try to avoid playing them. So I think that, you know, the sample size is big enough there where you can comfortably do that, even if it is trashing more than 10 to 20% of the lineups in your pool. But good question. Okay. We have caught up with questions in the YouTube chat. So jumping back over to the Discord. And looks like we have one more. So let's get this in the queue. Question for Showdown. How do you create a rule that each lineup must include one of the following X players, assuming I have a list of certain players? good questions. Let's go back to Showdown. So what I would do is I would come into my Showdown slate, go to my rules, add new rule, group manual, use at least one, click edit players, and then go and check your list, right? Make sure you're differentiating between captain and flex. But then once you select, you know, all these players, click save group, you're going to see them in this list. Say, hey, I must use at least one of these three captains, for example, for whatever I did. So this can work the same for, you know, whatever group of players you want. You just set it up like this and you're all set. But all right, looks like we're caught up here. We do have our build review show going live in about 30 minutes here. We do have a full slate of people signed up for today. So it should be a nice, solid show. So looking forward to that. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will see you all in about 30 minutes here. So until then, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.